Hey, it's great to have you here in a new year. Some of you might be your first time in church for the year, so welcome to 2019. Others of you have been here all the way. Some people have been away on cruises, all sorts of things going on, but we're here. Did anyone get a new gadget for Christmas that makes your life easier? What about, is anybody, we were at somebody's house the other night, and they've incorporated Alexa into their world. Anybody gone with Alexa here?
You've got Alex.
Yeah, I've got one. I just say, Alex, turn on the lights. Alex, turn on the TV. Alex, drink, and I'd wear it, wouldn't I? Anyway, the thing about it is, you know, we get these things to make life easier. So, for example, Alexa, you know, you can get the Alexa thing set up there and start talking to it. And if you're like my wife, conspiracy person, well, you're worried that that's being recorded and somebody's getting into your world. Maybe it is, but you know, you get this thing and you think, oh yeah. And so the next thing you got to do is buy smart light switches, because you know you need to be able to turn the lights on and off. And then after that, well, it'd be great if it turned the TV on too, wouldn't it? So maybe you need the right compatible TV, or you've got to buy another device that interfaces with the TV, and then you've got to get the gadget geek in your home to spend many hours lovingly programming and going through and making all this work so your life becomes simpler. I think there's no doubt our daily life in the developed world is easier, isn't it? I mean, you know, putting washing in a machine is much easier than going to the creek or using a washing board or some sort of old boiler or whatever you have. You know, it's much easier than it used to be. But sending a text message is easier than perhaps driving across town, you know, just to find out a little bit of fairly ordinary information. I think too often we use text messages for things that we actually should be having a conversation about. But so often, you know, what time we're coming around or whatever is a lot quicker than having to drive over there and find out, or all those things. We actually live in a world where so much of our life is easier. But my question is your life feel less complex? And in many ways, the more things that we add to our world, even things that we bring into our world to make our life easier, maybe they make certain aspects of our life easier, but the net result of all the things that we have in our world and our life is life can feel rather complex, can't it? And I think even in politics, there is an inclination to lean towards something that makes the complex simple. For example, you know, the rise of Donald Trump, somebody who can take what is very complex and try and boil it down into tweets, you know, seems, you know, half the people in America voted for him, so he's there. You know, there's something in us that actually wants to actually simplify the complex. And in a world that was called postmodern, and I think in many ways now we're post-truth, it's actually hard and difficult to find simplicity in a world that seems rather complex. Some people try and simplify their life by going, you know, off-grid. I was talking to a guy a while back, and they'd moved to another country, but what they were going to do is buy a tiny house, and And, you know, they had a number of kids, and I'm thinking, gee, kids, tiny house, how's all this going to work? But there was something in them to be able to bring simplicity to their life in a complex world where they're wanting to simplify debt and finances. They're wanting to keep their life almost in a manageable sort of place. And there's nothing wrong with tiny houses, nothing wrong with having less stuff, because I think most of us have too much stuff. But I want to actually talk to us as kingdom people in a complex world when there is an inclination perhaps to find simplicity in that. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. I want to say that we don't want to fall into the trap of all the stuff brings us back to a place where our dreams become tiny, where our vision becomes tiny, where we say, okay, this dream and this vision that we have, let's bring it back to something that is very small and very manageable and very safe, whereas we're not actually called to live safe. We're not called to live tiny. We're not called to even live to something that feels incredibly manageable. We're actually meant to have a dream and a vision that lifts our eyes and takes us beyond where we are now. And I think there is a difference in the two. There's often a yearning in us to find simplicity and clarity in a complex world. In a complex world, let's make sure that our dreams are not tiny, as I was just saying. Let's not settle for a reduced vision. But I think there is something very refreshing and simple and pure about the mission and the clarity that John the Baptist defined about his ministry in the lead up to Jesus' coming. And it says this in John 1:6-9. It says, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell you about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And as I read this, there are three things that stand out to me about the way that John responds and the way that he is talked about. First of all, he knew who he was. John the Baptist was very clear about who he was. He was very clear about his calling or his mission. He knew what he was there to do. And the other thing he was very clear about, he was very clear about who he was not. So John knew who he was, he knew what he was there to do, and he knew what he was not. And you might say, well, that's easy for John the Baptist. That's easy for somebody living in different times and a different world. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about this as we go this morning. John the Baptist lived in a very complex world. He lived when the religion and the faith that he had grown up through had become very, very, very complex. And he was actually bringing truth and clarity and a level of simplicity into something that had become so complex. John the Baptist was living in a time when life and religion had become extremely complex. The Jewish religion was diverse. It had no real central leadership. They disagreed on what counted as scripture. They disagreed on how to keep the Sabbath holy. They disagreed on life after death and even if it actually really existed. Many of them read the scripture in Greek at a time when Aramaic was the common vernacular language of the day. And then out of all this, the trying to make things work, things like the length of the tassels on your garment and the length of your hem meant that you could be closer to God if you got those things right. This is the complexity of the world that John the Baptist was living in. And in this place, John was preaching a simple and straightforward message. And his message could actually be boiled down to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn from your sin and be baptized. In a world that was very complex, he actually came out with a very, very profound, straightforward truth. In other words, don't worry about how long the hem is. Don't even worry about whether you're reading the scripture in Greek or Hebrew or speaking Aramaic, because most people weren't educated enough to even read that anyway. He actually just said, turn from your sin, get a glimpse of God, and repent and say, I want to follow you. And people flocked to his message. Yeah. People left their city and their complexity and their life, and they trekked out through the wilderness across the Jordan River to hear somebody who was bringing clarity in complex times. And when he was asked by the Jewish leaders, the religious people who had administered this incredible complexity, he responded in John 23. They said, who are you? Well, the first thing he says is, I'm not the Messiah. He was actually really clear about who he was not. He decided that he wasn't going to go with ego, talk about who he was, what he'd done to get there, and what he'd been through. He just said, I'm not the Messiah. And when he was asked about his vision, he responded in the words of the prophet Isaiah. He said, I'm a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way, the Lord's coming. I want to encourage us this year that knowing who we are, knowing who we're not, and having clarity around what we're called to do can simplify life in a complex world. I'm not going to promise you that your life is going to get more simple, because I don't think it can. I was just thinking as Alex and I were driving here this morning, and even as she was standing up here, and I'm thinking about the last year that we've had, our life has been far from simple. It's actually been more complex than it's ever been in our whole life on a whole lot of levels. And I can't see my life getting that much more simple. I can't see complexities going away. But what I do know is that there can be a simplicity of knowing who I am, knowing what I'm here to do, and knowing what I'm called to do, knowing what I am not, that is actually going to help me navigate the complexities of the world that I live in. So to simplify life in a complex world, I think number one, if you're taking notes this morning, number one, know who you are. Number one, know who you are. You might say, oh, of course I know who I am. You know, see Tom Clark there because he's one of the taller people. And I say, Tom, who are you? And it's an easy answer, isn't it? Well, I'm Tom Clark. But what's behind the name? You know, who actually are you? And I think if we know who we are, there's a whole lot of things that actually settle in our worlds. Things become simpler in a complex world when we really, really know who we are. John knew who he was. He knew clearly he was a voice. He knew that he had something to say. And listen to what it says in Matthew 3, verse 4. It says, John's clothes were woven from camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food he ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all over Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. He obviously wasn't trying to be cool. Or maybe, I don't know, in today's world, wearing camel hair could be really cool. But he wasn't trying to be cool. He didn't need to hang around cool people. He didn't need to be seen in the fanciest restaurant or the latest cafe, because he's out in the bush eating locusts and wild honey. And As I read and understand a little bit about John and the time that he lived, there was something of a supernatural security that he actually had. Because his message was not cool or popular. His message was not going to get him points with the people in his world that mattered. In fact, it was only going to stir them up. And there was a supernatural security that he had in knowing who he was that enabled him to bring simplicity to a complex world. He was secure enough in the fact that he was the Son of God to proclaim a simple truth in a complex world. So number one, knowing who you are. I think when you come into the kingdom of God, more than knowing that you're just part of something, that you know what, you have not just joined a local church. You haven't actually joined a group of nice people. You haven't joined a group of cool people. You haven't, you know, it's much more than that, that you actually are baptized into the kingdom of God and you become a son and a daughter of God. And when you become a son and a daughter of God, you don't just like, oh yeah, you're there. You actually inherit everything that God has. Not just a little bit, not just the bits that suit you. We're actually told in the Bible that he holds absolutely nothing back from us. You are a son and daughter of God, the creator of the universe. There is no other place that you could be where you could be more valuable, where you could matter more, where your inheritance could be greater, whereas what's in front of you is bigger than you could possibly even imagine. There is no situation, there is nothing that you're going to go through that you don't have resources that are immeasurable that can get you through that. Is it going to be simple? Probably not. Are there going to be complexities in that? Absolutely. But have you got the resource, the vision, and the calling to get through that in knowing who you are? Absolutely. Because you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God if you're in the kingdom of God. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit are children of God." Galatians 4:7, "No longer are you a slave, but you are God's own children, and since you are his child, God has made you his heir." You have an inheritance. You're not a slave, you're included and you belong. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, "I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters, says Lord Yahweh Almighty." You're a son and daughter of God, you are loved and you are valued. I think the more you get to understand it, the less you actually need to be validated by people. And I think this is one of the simplest but most profound truths that we can actually get hold of in the complexities of our world. Your security and your identity isn't in your stuff. It isn't in what people think about you. It isn't in how popular you are. It isn't about what is going on in your world. It is absolutely about who you are in Jesus Christ. Who you are in Jesus Christ is not determined by how your work's going. It's not determined by what promotion you've had or whether you've lost your job. It is not determined by how well your family's doing. It's not determined by whether your kids are off the rails or on the rails. It's not determined by any of those things. It's the fact that you are adopted into the family of God and your security is in that place, and all those other things are actually going to fit in under that, and they're going to go up and down and they're going to change. But you can know without any doubt whatsoever that your security is in Jesus Christ, and that can never be taken away from you. Knowing who we are is going to bring simplicity in a complex world. Number two, know your calling. If we want to find some simplicity in a complex life, I think we've got to know our calling. And John knew his calling and his mission. He was really clear about that. It's interesting, from the time that Jesus was baptized and started his mission, the way he went about things was very different to John. And what they actually did and the places he went and the people he talked to, the conversations he had, was different to John. John actually had to work that out and realize that what he was called to do wasn't the same as Jesus. Even though they were on the same team, they were doing the same thing, they were part of the same kingdom, and they were serving the one God, and they were part of the one cause, but their calling wasn't exactly the same. And John actually had to come to terms with that, you know, when his disciples turned up and said, hey, you know, Jesus is calling these people. People are following him around and he seems to have all this freedom. He's going to parties and they're doing all this stuff. And here's John locked up in jail about to lose his head, literally. And he actually had to come to the point of saying, well, I know I have been true to my calling. And I think if we can be true to our calling, we actually find simplicity in a complex world. He actually said, clear the way, the Lord's coming. Ephesians 1:18, and I'm reading here from Passion Translation. Has anybody been reading the Passion Translation? It's been around for a while, but it seems to be getting a lot more traction, doesn't it? And Paul says this, he says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. Wow. We are called on. We're called to step into our inheritance. We're called to live with imagination and illumination. I just really feel that, you know, for us as a church and for you as individuals in this year, it's a year where God wants to actually illuminate the eyes of your imagination. You know, because there's so much that goes on that wants to deaden that and call it down. He's saying, hey, come on, just allow my light to come in, and actually, you know, your dreams shouldn't be getting smaller. That you shouldn't be trying to get things just so they're more manageable. No, there's going to be a simplicity in the complexity, and I need you to see and have illuminated imagination as to what I'm going to do. All right, number three, to simplify life in a complex world, I think number three is to know who you're not. And John was really clear about that. The first thing he said when the Pharisees came, and he was addressing what was going on in the world at the time. They were expecting a Messiah, and they were wondering who that would be and what it would look like. But he was actually clear. He said, I am not the Messiah. Don't get me wrong. Don't treat me like the Messiah, because I'm not going to be able to do that, because that's who I'm not. I am not the Messiah. And it says this. It says, John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. There's a lot of pressure in trying to be something you're not, isn't there? I did a bit of a crazy bike ride this week, and pushed my sorry old body to the limits. And you know, there's something, you feel a sense of achievement in some of that. But if I start to think that maybe next year I'm going to be riding in the Tour de France or something like that, I'm very deluded, because I'm not that. I'm even though I have moments of thinking I'm a pro cyclist, but I'm not. And actually, the enjoyment in what I do is understanding what I'm not. Because in the world, the complexity of the world that we live in is, I can ride. Places in Tasmania, and I can actually compare the time that I ride a hill with Richie Port. And if I'm trying to take my validation and my sense of achievement in the difference between my time and Richie's, well, I'm going to feel pretty down about myself. You see, understanding who you're not actually helps you find incredible security in who you actually are. We're called to be witnesses to the light. We don't actually have to be the light. I think sometimes we almost get that wrong. We say, you know what, we've got to bring light into situations. Well, it's actually, we don't have to be the light. We've actually got to be those who reflect the light to where we are. We are witnesses to what Christ has done and is doing. We don't need to try and be Jesus. Rather, we're called to clear the rubbish away and make a path for him to come in. And yeah, I will address the theology of that a little bit. I mean, there is a verse in the New Testament that actually says that, you know, we are Christ in the world. So Christ in us. But we've actually got to understand that we are Christ because he is in us. But in our human fragility, we're actually not trying to be Christ. We're allowing Christ in us to be Christ in the world. And I think the problem is we actually start to move to a point where we think we've got to be Christ. And even these things that we say, we've got so many terms as Christians, like being Christ-like, which is good, but we almost create this pressure where we're trying in our own strength to be more like Christ, where it's actually meant to be totally the opposite. It's meant to be something we let go, we surrender to him, we actually put him as our authority, and we allow him to be him through us. And there is an incredible amount of pressure that is released when we allow Jesus to flow through us rather than us trying to be Jesus ourselves. People burn out all the time in churches as Christians because we think we've got to be Jesus. We think, oh, we're going to pray for healing, and we're sort of, oh, Lord, you know, I'm going to heal this person. You don't heal anybody. It's the power of God through you that heals people. You know, oh, I'm going to sort this person's problems out. Somebody with problems has a very complex life. And I've sat with people and they started to tell me stuff. And I'm thinking, wow. And the more they tell me, the more it doesn't make sense. And you mostly realise that they're missing the main thing out. But, you know, there's all this stuff going on and their life is so complex. And I'm racking my brain and thinking, oh, gee, I wish I could sort that out. Whereas nowadays, I don't even try. I just say, look, I can't fix it. But Jesus can. My job is to clear away the rubbish and help you find Jesus in your situation. Because he's got a way of unpacking and taking off the layers and actually working and not actually making you perfect, but making you secure in the complexities of your world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I love the way Paul addresses this stuff. He says, now it's because of God's mercy that we've been entrusted with the privilege of this new covenant ministry. And we will not quit or faint with weariness. We reject every shameful cover-up and refuse to resort to the cunning trickery or distorting the word of God. Instead, we open up our souls to you, presenting truth to everyone's conscience in the sight and the presence of God. So understanding, how do you work in a complex world? Well, actually, you know, it's Jesus in you that will bring truth and light to these situations. That we've actually got to make sure that we don't sell out truth. We don't sell those things out in the complexities of our world. In a post-truth world, you know, the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, that all have actually sinned and fallen short of his standards remains truth. It remains truth above all things. It remains truth above sexual preference. It remains truth above the complexities of all sorts of relationships. And I'm not talking about what's right or wrong in that. I'm just saying that the truth of God remains truth, and we're going to make sure that we don't sell that out in the complexities of our world. And you're not asked to stand up on a soapbox and talk into all these different issues. You don't mostly have to do that. But you've actually got to say, you know what? Jesus remains the Son of God. And his love can actually lead you through all sorts of different scenarios and situations. And actually, the fact is that we have, as humanity, have got to deal with our rebellion and our sin against God. That doesn't change. No matter how the values of life changes, that doesn't change, and truth is truth. And we've actually got to allow truth to continue to shine into our world. And then Paul talks about these clay jars or clay pots. And he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, he says, and that's what I just read, but we're going to verse 7 now. It says, we are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. Let me read that to you again. We, all of us, are like common clay jars. So when you get up in the morning and you think, wow, don't think I'm as beautiful as I was yesterday. I look very common this morning. Don't stop there. Keep reading. We carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. And it's actually in my weakness that I realize the source of the true strength is Jesus Christ. It's actually in my cracks. It's in my humanity. It's in the car this morning when I'm having, Alex and I are having a slightly animated conversation about how we get over here. And my humanity is on full display. And I can stand up and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, not because of my humanity and my faults and my brokenness, but in many ways, the more that I'm broken, the more that Jesus is able to shine through me.
That's right.
And as we embrace another year, you might be thinking, well, I've just got to get my life back together. Just got to put these pieces together. I've got to get them. I've got to get it working. You don't actually have to get all the pieces together. In many ways, the more you are broken, the more room there is for the treasure and the light and the love of God to actually shine through the cracks in your life. The 12 disciples chosen by Jesus were essentially fishermen, farmers, and tax collectors. They were ordinary. They were like the clay jars of society. They were often slow to understand. They were often full of fear. And they didn't always show great courage when they were faced with the big situations. Yet, on the day of Pentecost, these guys became the first evangelists that went out under the power of God and spoke an incredibly powerful, life-changing message that changed the world.
Yeah.
I just want to encourage us that in the brokenness of our humanity, that does not discount you from serving God and from the love and the power and the light of God shining through. I'll be really honest with you. We're taking on a big year as a church. We've got lots ahead of us. Where we land as a building and all sorts of things that we're seeing in our city and how we reach a community beyond middle class Christianity. How we actually get into communities and places and actually make a real change in this city. That's all there. But if I'm honest with you, I am more broken than I've ever been in my life. And I don't have all the answers. But I do know that the love and the power of God can actually work through our humanity.
Right.
Can work through our cracks. The band want to join me, please. This is what Paul says after that. I love this. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed.
That's right.
At times, we don't know what to do. But quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We are knocked down, but we're not out.
Yeah.
We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own body so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. Come on. I want you to do something for me right now. If you feel like you've been knocked down, I want you to stand up. If you've been through some stuff that feels like knocked you down, I want you to stand up right now, because we're going to proclaim that you are, you might have been knocked down, but you're not out. You are not finished. You are coming into the best season of your life. You are actually going to come in to what God has called you forward and for. Lord, I thank you that there are people standing across this place where situations and circumstances feel like they have conspired in a certain way. Perhaps we've made mistakes. Whatever it is, we thank you that we can be knocked down, but we're not out in the kingdom of God. We thank you that our greatest days are ahead of us. We thank you that you have called us. We thank you that as a result of these things, that you will shine, that the power and love of your Holy Spirit will flow through the cracks in our humanity in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Who's felt some persecution this year? Who's been under that? Maybe you're sitting down and you need to stand up right now. Because you know what? You might feel like you've been persecuted. You might feel like things have come against you. Will you stand up right now? Because we're gonna pray into that. Where you feel like you've been on the rough end of things at work. You feel like people haven't understood your situation. You feel like that this stuff just hasn't worked. Lord, I thank you that there is no word that can be spoken. I thank you that there is no situation, there is no circumstance that can come against the calling on these people's lives. I thank you that you have called them to clear the way for Jesus. I thank you that you've called them to be light in a complex world. I thank you that right now that you're bringing a simplicity and a clarity to people's calling in this situation in the name of Jesus. Amen. And maybe there are people here that you're battling in your own bodies right now. Whether it's sickness, fatigue, whatever it is, I want you to stand up. You might be already up, but that's fine. Just be part of that. Whatever it is, just let's stand into this right now. We're going to pray into this. We're told that our our bodies, the way that Paul puts it here. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies, in the limitation of our human bodies, so that the resurrection power of Jesus can be seen. And for some of you now, you know, God wants to actually bring a literal healing into your bodies. But more than that, I think He actually wants to bring a life and vitality that will flow through you beyond whatever is going on right now. And I'm believing that none of you will be actually limited in your calling by what is going on in your body in a physical sense. So Lord, right now there are people that feel like they need a healing touch from You. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are here, that You would just bring healing to people's bodies across this place right now. I pray that the resurrection power of Jesus would be known. I thank You that there is a sense of calling and purpose that goes beyond what we actually carry in our own bodies right now, in the name of Jesus. Want to be part of the calling and the purpose of God this year, if you're able to just stand up now. Because the last part of this verse here says, so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. We're all going to make some mistakes this year. We're all going to be really human in various circumstances. But my prayer is that the resurrection power of Jesus will be seen through our humanity. Let's understand who we are, that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we have an inheritance beyond anything that we can imagine. Let's understand that we've got a calling and a purpose that's more exciting than anything that you can actually get hold of. It's more exciting than the latest gadget or car. It's more exciting than the best home. It's more exciting than some amazing physical pursuit. It's more exciting than anything. Let's keep hold of our calling. No, we're not. Let's take the pressure off a little bit. It's actually Jesus in us, not us trying to be Jesus, so that His light will actually shine through our humanity. Lord, I thank You that we all stand here. We stand here as one in the kingdom of God. We thank You that we understand that we are sons and daughters of God. We know that we are called. We know that we have a purpose. We know that we were born for a cause, and we continue to be part of that cause. And we thank You that You've not asked us to be anything that we're not. You've just said, step in to who we are in Jesus Christ, and that Your light and Your love will shine through and be seen through our humanity.